Welcome to another episode of Rough Talk VR, a weekly podcast with in-depth game reviews, exclusive developer interviews, and the latest MetaQuest and virtual reality news. We join our hosts, the father-son team of D. Scruffles and Stratus today, as they spend another episode breaking down and discussing the world of virtual reality.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Rough Talk VR, coming at you with another edition of news and, you know, maybe not as much as last week on the agenda. You know, we really had to plow through that second half last week, but still plenty of fun stuff to talk about.
Never a dull moment.
No, and the hype for me, dude, fresh off the release of Walkabout Mini Golf's new DLC, Ice Lair, which we did a special YouTube video on last week. If you're an audio-only listener, you can find our kind of breakdown and discussion of Ice Lair on our YouTube channel as well. But right off the release of that, Walkabout Mini Golf announces their next DLC course. There might actually be one course that comes in between this.
I don't think it's their next.
It's the one right after that.
Yeah.
So they have another.
It's coming. How's that?
Yeah, the course coming two courses from now was my impression. But they announced a Wallace and Gromit IP collaboration.
Yeah.
So
they're actually doing some, looks like some sort of presentation of something going on I've seen on their social media.
Yeah, they did some. They did the announcement in, I think, London, in UK.
That's the way I'm understanding it. I'm trying to digest it all. I just started.
It came out of nowhere.
I literally saw, like, anytime I see like an IG post from them or LinkedIn, whatever, I check it out, and then I'm like, wow, well, that's cool. They're promoting Wallace and Gromit. Mm-hmm. How ironic, because, you know, and then I start seeing and understanding more, and I'm like, oh no,
they're doing a Wallace and Gromit
course.
They're
doing a Wallace and Gromit course,
and
like, holy crap, out of nowhere, dude.
And you know, Wallace and Gromit, they had their game that came out earlier this year in VR, and this is the second IP now that has done a VR game, the first being Myst, and then partnered with Walkabout for a course later. So that's a smart thing, you know. Walkabout, a game drops a VR version in its IP, and then Walkabout comes in and goes, hey, how about we do a little course, you know?
Well, it's freaking awesome, because, I mean, and I look at their team that works there, and it's like, it's an extremely talented group of people.
Oh, you know Don Carson's going to have a field day with this one.
100%.
And I saw Edward posting about how excited he was for this one. I could picture.
And when we had spoken to Michelle Martel, and some of the past companies she's worked for and such, it's like, I mean, she's an awesome human being. So I don't think anybody has any like ill feeling to her for any company she's worked for in the past. So she's got some resources at her disposal too, when you really think about it.
Yeah, I would love to know how this one came together IP wise. Who approached
this? Is a good one.
That's always my number one question.
But has there ever been a bad one?
From Walkabout? Not yet.
No.
And I don't think they're on track to putting out a bad one. I love Ice Lair. Still, it stands a week later. I'm in love with the gameplay of Ice Lair. Easy mode and hard mode.
I don't disagree.
It's so much fun. Every time I play it, I think I even enjoy it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much strategy in it with using the ice to your advantage. It's a silly course. Laugh a whole bunch. So they crushed it with Ice Lair, their most recent. You know, I'm curious what's coming in between Ice Lair and Wallace and Gromit.
I can't even speculate.
They also
do the selfish I wants, never like, what do I think? Because I didn't see this coming.
They tease that they have another IP in the works as well. So, dude, Mighty Coconut is just doubling down. You know, you go, oh, are they ever gonna run out of courses?
No.
Dude, they're doubling down. It's getting It's getting even better.
No.
They're getting better. Their rhythm's getting better.
They'll never run out of. That'd be like saying, you know, do you ever think you'll stop thinking and run out of ideas?
You know, because last week we were speculating on future courses. You know, you love your Willy Wonka one.
Willy Wonka, baby.
Then we were even speculating what else could there be for Evil Lairs on our breakdown of it.
Yeah, there's more coming.
You know what's one that I would love? A Lego World one. I feel like it would just fit the Walkabout aesthetic.
It would especially be with some of the Lego configurations of like obstacles.
And if you just did it Lego World, you could do it anything Lego, right? So that would be a fun one.
How about, ready? Lego Meow Wolf. Like, if it's not trippy enough,
no, I think
we'll find a way to make it trippy.
I think
nobody can predict. There's not one person I saw posting anywhere in social media within the past 30 days that Wallace and Gromit.
When we speculate forces, that would have been guess number 2,000, 5,000. You know, it would have been so far down the list. We would never have thought
that would have just been one of those. You know, looking at a list of like all different.
I guess like, Wallace and Gromit.
What do you think about Wallace and Gromit, dude? There's no fucking way. But no, so I'm excited. As they keep pumping out a little more information on social media, and I encourage you, you should follow Mighty Coconut on all platforms. You learn some shit. So this one, they're already like hyping it with all the different background things that are going to be in it. So.
And it's maintaining that $3.99 price. It's impressive that they're able to keep the same price with IPs as well, because, you know, well, IPs can...
And let's be honest, though. I mean, if you're like Wallace and Gromit peeps, you obviously know Walkabout Mini Golf. It's not like you know their price structure. I don't think anybody's ever going to sit at the negotiating table and be like, look, you can have our stuff, but you're going to have to sell it for $7.99. Be like, there's the door.
Yeah, we'll find a new IP. We'll do something else.
Check this out. I got a list right here of all these names and numbers, and I'm just going to call the next person on the list. Appreciate your time. Sorry you feel that way. Have a Coke and a smile. You can take a muffin on the way out.
No, I'm excited for this one. Yeah. I think they're going to crush it because, as you said earlier, there's not been a bad one yet. Yeah. I have so much faith in them. You know, all their DLCs deliver. And each one that's come out recently, it's like, I tell you, the rhythm's getting better and better.
The balls are going to be awesome in Wallace and Gromit, too.
Yeah. I mean, Edward, in my opinion, he crushed it with hiding the balls in Ice Lair. Maybe others will disagree.
I think that's the hardest,
in my opinion. Just like we always say, you know, it's hard to say the best gameplay, the best aesthetics, but as it digests with the ball hiding, I agree. This one might have been the hardest one. At least for me, for my style of for the way my brain works, I was not able to find the balls easily at all.
Edward's never going to get a job anywhere else because they're going to hear that you were the dude who hit all those balls and someone's going to have played it and been like, you know how angry I am at you right now? I don't want you working for me.
No, we got to get Edward.
Psychopath.
That's another one we got to get back on soon. I love Edward.
Dude, I love everybody. That energy is what I really like.
Especially
it's all positive. It's like, you feel good during the interview. You feel good even like listening to it after. It's like, wow, it's just a positive group of human beings.
If I remember correctly, and he was, you know, going crazy about his excitement for Wallace and Gromit, it would be appropriate too, because we had him on before Myst came out, and he told us Myst was one of his favorite games of his childhood. And you could just hear that passion. So if it's the same for Wallace and Gromit, I'm excited.
And look at the career paths of most of these people, too. A lot of them were in, like, industries of making people happy. Whether it's, you know, being a Disney Imagineer or just designing amusement park setups. Or
even look at Lucas Martel making animations.
Yeah.
You know, really comical, good animations.
So.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one.
Just a great team.
Could spend the whole episode just speculating and talking about our love of.
I could easily talk an hour and talk about.
But
with selfish wish lists and such.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Ooh.
Yeah.
But then you're tackling Disney. Then you're tackling Disney.
Yeah. Well, they got Disney peeps in their portfolio.
You know?
And the world runs on networking.
That's a good point.
Right. And again, every one of these human beings are people that I think would be embraced by the companies they used to work for.
But here's what I'm starting to understand with the Walkabout IPs, it's never going to be the major IPs you expect. You know, you look at their partnership so far, Jules Verne, Meow Wolf, Myst, Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah.
Those would never have been your guesses. They're not like the top, you know, 10 sought after IPs and stuff like that. They all come out really good. But
well, they're not sought after because nobody's gone after them.
I have a feeling every IP that Walkabout announces, it's going to be the last thing you would have ever thought. With them.
How about a ready?
Not going to be the major ones.
Want me to drop a nuclear bomb on the course of all courses?
Pokemon. That's the thing. It's like your brain goes to the major IPs.
Which doesn't necessarily have me going, yay. But
I'm starting
from a standpoint of like the ultimate pull off. That's a pretty big one.
I'm just starting to think that we'll never see those big IPs with Walkabout. You know, like I said, Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think Pokemon. Opposite. But I think over a year ago, maybe even longer, we both agreed that there'll be a time where these big names are going to come to Walkabout and be like, hey, because you can't deny from a marketing standpoint, like even if it's a movie, I mean, you can't deny that power that the marketing has with having your stuff on Walkabout.
Oh, I know. I agree. I think that day will come. I just think that for it's their coming. IPs,
if it hasn't already came and we don't know it yet.
I think their IP game, though, when they say that they have one more IP in the works, I'm not expecting
Star Wars
or anything major or anything from Disney or a major one. It's going to be this left field one like Wallace and Gromit or Myst that you go, well, I wasn't expecting that. You can see Dr. Seuss courses. Oh, my goodness. Imagine Dr. Seuss courses.
That's a good one.
We say that as Massachusetts people. We got Dr. Seuss Springfield.
Yeah.
You know?
Born and raised in our backyard.
People can say what they want about Springfield.
And all that.
We got Dr. Seuss. We got basketball.
Basketball Hall of Fame.
A couple towns over, we got the creation of volleyball.
And the Volleyball Hall of Fame.
Come on.
Yeah, no, our area for certain things is pretty good.
What's happened since then, you know, that's a different conversation, but...
Actors, you know. But yeah, Dr. Seuss would be a good one.
Yeah.
It would fit the
author theme.
And I think price point wise too, it would work.
Mm-hmm.
Because Seuss is run by their foundation.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that, you know, for
that
approvals.
Could be a fun one.
Universal Studios, I think, has the or when I went, they had the Dr. Seuss land.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty freaking amazing, man.
So we should do if we ever have a week and we're like, dude, there's not that much news.
Oh, yeah, we have the...
Or we don't have a second episode or something like that. We should do a whole episode dedicated to Walkabout speculation and Walkabout appreciation. I could easily... Dude, we're freaking like 10 minutes in.
Which is easy. It's just open up their catalog.
Yeah, go through each course, talk about our favorites. It would be so easy. So that's a good reserve episode topic.
I don't have a non-favorite.
No.
That's what's crazy.
No, we wouldn't even discuss our favorite. We would just talk about each course and speculate.
It's like everything you order being five star and you're told to pick your favorite. It's like, but it was all superb.
Walkabout is our VR, one of our VR Michelin star devs.
Well, I honestly, since we got headsets and bought it, we haven't stopped talking for 3 years about Walkabout.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they hold a special, but I'll move on.
No, they're great.
We'll talk about them next week.
And the week after, easily.
Yeah.
Another cool one, though, I know you had some excitement for this one. Survivor, the TV series, Survivor.
Yes.
They announced a partnership with Horizon Worlds. There's going to be a Survivor, not going to be, it's out now.
Yeah.
A Survivor Horizon Worlds world. Or you could say island. Not world, it's an island.
Yeah, it's not a city.
It's a Survivor island.
It's not Boston.
I haven't checked it out yet. You know, it came out March 8th. But, you know, I remember watching Survivor as a kid, like a wee little lad, and it was on the TV.
You are actually in my Survivor season 2 or season 3 submission video.
They didn't take you?
Do you remember me being a fucking Survivor?
Nope. Well, hey, could have gone
did
wrong.
Did they take you?
Could have gone wrong.
You probably would have remembered that because I had always felt like if I got on there, I would do very well. Mm-hmm. So,
well, now you get to do it in VR, but I don't know the extent of the island. Is it just like doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Games
if it's just
with your
mini
friends?
Games,
do you
or
vote people off?
I'm hoping it's a.
You want to vote people off?
Yeah, but it's weird because
you're lucky among us. Doesn't
you can't. You can't really, I mean, what are you voting people off for? There's no real social interaction unless they're like next game in 5 minutes and you're going to try to make friends with someone in five minutes. So that whole dynamic would be weird. But if the person who lost was the one that is like voted, then I get it.
Or it's all team-based. So
process of elimination.
Vote off the one that you think is going to hold you all back the most.
So we'll see.
No, but I'm excited to check that one out. Yeah, it's in Horizon Worlds. Look at Horizon Worlds coming around.
I actually thought of reapplying to Survivor. Can't help myself.
I'm all set on anything reality TV on my end. I'm all set.
Well, that's one that I always You know what? I get someone might say, you know, hey, it's not as real as you think, but it doesn't matter. It's the one where I fucking $1 million, dude. what are you going to do?
I mean,
someone going to offer you a chance at $1 million? You're going to say no?
I'm all set.
I don't like that.
I'm all set on reality TV.
Even for $1 million.
That's not my cup of tea. They get to paint you however they want to.
Boom. Well,
and it's just like intrusive. It's annoying. Okay. What, you're going to have to quit your job to do it?
No. Reality show 101 is no going in that this can be
cut, trimmed, whatever,
and don't be that douchebag.
That's a part of my life I could live.
Go around being all aggro, then yeah, you're going to be, you know.
I could live 10 lives, never do a reality show and be happy.
But dude,
I'm all set.
Being a dick works too.
I know. It's just,
you can have a career on it after that if you're a good enough asshole. People like the person people mm-hmm. love to hate. But anywho.
Nonetheless.
I'll try Survivor.
Yeah, Survivor. VR. Yeah, well, it's not going to be a full-fledged game. It's just a little world in Horizon Worlds. But
it's
cool, though.
Because it's partnered with the actual show. And if, you know, you flat screen or whatever, they got some games that are similar to Survivor, but they don't outright call it that. So, and you do get to vote people off and shit.
I know the voting people off part is the part that you're excited for. But I'm telling you, historically and among us, your Among Us luck carries over.
I'm doomed in round one.
It's not in your best interest.
I'm screwed. Yeah. No. I get voted out so often. I don't even enjoy playing Among Us. Full disclosure, hasn't been fun for me for like 6 months.
You go in and people are like, you're it.
Yeah, you know, I find a body and I instantly hit the thing.
You got to remember where you are.
People go, well, where was it? And I'll be like, honestly, don't know. I came around the corner and there was a body and I instantly hit the alarm button or whatever.
And see you flying through the space.
I don't know. That's sus to me. I'm like, then maybe I shouldn't have said I even hit the buzzer and just kept my mouth shut. I'd have better odds just denying hitting the buzzer. Like, I don't know who hit it. Be like the first guy to be, who the fuck did that? Because yeah, I have terrible luck in Among Us. And I'm never the guy.
No, I've witnessed it. It's hilarious. Doesn't matter the group we play with either. Probably going out first.
And then groups we've played with that
you answer stuff. You answer stuff shady sometimes.
That
I've witnessed it.
Whatever.
You will give the full answer.
I've seen people vote for me just because they know that I'm going to get voted first. Even if I'm in a corner doing nothing, saying nothing. It's like, ha ha ha.
I love the human psychological test that is Among Us.
People are weak.
You'll see how quickly, like, groupthink can turn against you.
Well, you see how quickly you can deter attention, too.
And just by answering something wrong.
And, you know, unfortunately, you're playing it, like, really to win solo, more or less. So, but if you worked with somebody, like, how easy to deter that tension?
It's amazing.
I'm that guy.
And, hey, I'll lie through my teeth in Among Us. I'm just as guilty, but it's funny how quickly people turn, or, like, down to lie for a game. It's a game, so who cares, right? Yeah. But you'll go into full-blown, like, not even no facial expression change.
No,
like,
what do you see? You know,
full psychopath. You know, like, no, what are you talking about? That wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
It was him. I watched him do it.
It was that squeaker
sitting there stabbing him. You know. So
yeah, Among Us has been not on my playlist. Well,
depending on the extent of the Survivor Island world, whatever in Horizon Worlds. It might even be fun to check out with a little Discord group if it's like best played with like 6 to 8 people, whatever, yeah, you know?
I'll probably jump in there tonight or tomorrow and
just get at least a scope of it and then we can see play what it from there.
See what it's about.
Well, if anybody's played it so far, comment about it in our YouTube comments, in the live chat, in the Discord, wherever you listen to this. I think even Spotify has a little comment section. That's pretty cool.
Mm.
I hope that comes to more podcast apps. I think that's a nifty little feature.
Oh, comments?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
And the way the Spotify one works is when somebody leaves a comment, it's not defaultly visible. You have to go and turn it on.
If someone's like, we're shit ever.
Yeah. You don't just get spammed with a bunch of, you know.
If jank was a sound.
Well, speaking of which, too, this is a good time to say, you know, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe, rate us 5 stars on whatever platform you listen on, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify. On the audio side, you know, Pocket Cast, Podcast Addict, or if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, smash the like button, share it, comment, tell it, scream it from the world, from the mountains, you know. Subscribe is the easiest way to get our newest content ASAP, and it helps support the podcast a bunch. So, in other news, a game that was shown off at the Upload VR Winter Showcase, Tiny Archers, was on App Lab, officially coming to the MetaQuest store on April 18th. It's going to be, you know, kind of looks like a little single player elven assassin.
Like, yeah.
A little bit
more
of,
or less.
Yeah, a little bit of that battle bows feel to it.
Some different, you know, bow, arrow creations, and, you know, it looks like they have electricity and some other shit.
It looks pretty good. There's a full campaign
to
it.
I'm a sucker for
archery games.
Yeah.
You've always been good at using a bow in VR, too. I'll give you credit there. Credit where credit's due. Anytime that it's...
Archery in summer camp, you know?
Yeah.
Was the thing.
It's all... Well, and also, we've been playing archery games really since we got the headset. So...
They have an they're marketing the bow that you can get for this?
I won't say that they're like marketing it like they're spending heavy like promotional dollars, but they do advertise it like on their page and everything. Tiny Archers is going to have compatibility with this 52-inch bow attachment that you can buy for $199. So definitely a premium.
Beast.
Dude, 52 inches is a like that's a big bow for a accessory attachment.
Yeah, almost 5 feet.
It looks like you connect it to your headset through an app. But obviously, you don't need the attachment to play either.
I wonder if it's more accurate.
Well, I wonder if it will be compatible with other archery apps as well.
That's what I was wondering as well.
Because, like, look, if it's only for this game, $199 is a tough nut to crack for it. But if you're like, dude, pretty much it's going to be the standard for any archery game that comes out.
I wear it on my back when I play Demio.
I could see you having like a rope around you with it, you know, so you like have it over your shoulder. I could see you getting full immersion with it.
Little elf ears and shit. Well, and Ghost of Divorce got their accessory.
Coming out soon.
Yeah.
Their gun attachment that looks sick. So
I think
maybe
I'm on board with it.
After talking with Z-Storm?
Yeah.
You think he sold you?
I really, 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 really want to try it.
Well, if you do, I'll have to, unfortunately. Yeah. But
it seems like could be a game changer after the learning curve anyways.
Yeah. But Tiny Archers, you know, like I said, it's got a full...
Looks fun.
Yeah, it's got a full campaign. They say side quests and stuff like that, so I'm curious how that works.
Graphics look pretty good.
Yeah.
Like the trolls.
I think the only thing holding it back to me, and it's the same thing as I always say every week with games that I wish were co-op, but it's single player only, and to me this is a game that looks like made for multiplayer.
I mean, who knows what their roadmap is, because a lot of games do this too, where they'll come out, release, and then make it clear that multiplayer is in the future, just like Underdogs.
Yeah. Well, they said that they might do multiplayer. It all depends on sales and stuff like that. When Underdogs
for
said
what?
That.
Underdogs?
Yeah.
But come on.
You think Underdogs
Brata.
Is crushing
Brata.
It? You think they're crushing it with sales? I hope so. That game
Get
is so good.
Get the fuck out, man. Dude, of course they're doing well.
Underdogs crushes it from top to bottom. If we talk about soundtrack, voice acting, graphics with like immersion and aesthetics, the actual gameplay of it, the campaign, the choose your own adventure aspect of it, from top to bottom, you know, Underdogs is like a 10 out of a 10. It's well, like, what do they do bad?
One of the best things ever, you know, only a few games do it like this, Mother Gunship and this one, where you just stop. Let's say you do one fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be like, I want to come back to it. Just leave.
Yeah, and then
you
can resume
in,
your
it'll
campaign.
Say you want to resume?
It's so good, because you'll hit a point where you're like, dude, I'm done for the day.
Well, yeah, you want to keep that. I mean, you're swinging for the fences.
But I don't want to lose my run. I got a good one. And then it's like every run, after you lose the run, you unlock more stuff that's accessible in the next time you play. It's like at this point, you know, you do 10, 12 runs.
It's a fantastic game.
Your first days, because, you know, it's every day you pick your events in Underdogs. Your first days in Underdogs after 10 runs are going to be vastly different than your first ever one, just because of the amount of stuff, the different characters
Dude, yeah.
you have unlocked.
You know what to stay away from,
yeah.
what to buy, what not to buy. And then every now and then I still see new shit.
Yeah, because
like,
you're constantly unlocking
goodness.
Stuff. It shows you how much stuff there is to unlock. You're like, damn.
It's a great game.
So I really hope that they do add multiplayer. But when Underdog said that they're going to add multiplayer, I went, are we talking PvP or are we talking co-op? I want to do a campaign with you. With you.
Yeah, PvP is going to...
Because, dude, we could pick up a... Theoretically, in this game, we could pick up an enemy and throw it to each other.
Right?
Play catch with it.
Well,
we could have
I'll
so
punch,
much fun.
I'll punch you an enemy.
Yeah.
either ready? Uppercut you want or
grab the enemy, smash it, throw it to your buddy who catches it, smash, throw it back, smash.
I don't use the claw hand
anymore.
At all, no.
You don't like to grab too much?
No.
You'd rather the smashing.
I load my right hand up to the gills. It gets the max of everything I can get my paws on.
What, and then you just throw yourself forward?
The left hand. Back. The left hand, I could care less what it has.
Is that just your launch hand?
Yeah, because I
go in and out hard.
As I come in, I just throw the punch and mm-hmm. I try to connect. Or the same thing with the uppercut self. Pull myself in and at the same time throw an uppercut, then you're going flying, man.
You know, I'm not huge on the gorilla tag locomotion of pulling yourself and launching yourself. Underdogs to me has been my favorite implementation of it. Out of Hand did a good job too.
Knock.
Yeah. I guess Knock's a little old school with it too. Didn't think about that.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering it correctly, I haven't played Knock in so long.
Game's changed a lot.
Yeah, that's another good one. But damn, you got me sidetracked on Underdogs in that game. I'm down to talk about Underdogs any day. Like I said, we never did a formal review on it or anything, but
no, I think it's got that.
Is there any category that you can deduct points off of Underdogs? To me, it's off the top of my head.
Gameplay is smooth.
I think it's a perfect score.
Tell you what,
I haven't had any glitches. It's replayable as shit. If we were to just do a review, of
one could argue the graphics are not perfect.
But if we have the category of aesthetics, counting the music score and everything,
yeah, the music's a 10 out of 10.
It's a perfect score to me on aesthetics.
I don't know.
You know, I'd have to look hard to deduct points from.
I'd have to take something off for the graphics, dude.
You'd have to?
Yeah.
Maybe like an 18 out of 20 on aesthetics or something. This isn't an actual review.
No,
we're just kind of.
No, I'm just spitballing. But I would probably knock them a couple of points for.
It's a high 90s out of 100 if we were to do a score. I mean, that's one
It'd be a 90 something, yes.
One of the best releases of the year. And of course, Ghost of Tabor as well, releasing this year. This March and April has been stacked.
Ghost of Tabor I don't know, man. There's no looking back with it because every time they do an update, it's a fucking better game.
We talked about it last week, how this is the first map that rivals Island.
I love it.
We haven't gone to Island since.
No.
All week we've just done Matka. Because here's the thing. Well, yes, we'll get player kills, but like I said last week, it's to me, Maka's guaranteed 10 NPC kills. Minimum. Even if we die, I'm getting 10 to 13.
Go wait at one of the extraction points.
Yeah.
For the timer to.
The biggest challenge with Maka when you're brand new to it is learning your navigation around it. It's very easy to be like, where the hell?
It's a big map.
Yeah. They did a good job. They did a very good job.
You
can
make your way to the bunker. You get some really good loot.
Yeah. We've had a fun week of VR gaming, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm not upset.
Between Ghost of Tabor and then Contractor Showdown over the weekend, we were having some more fun with that. We're finally getting like an idea of what to do in it. You know, now we have a game plan. We go in. We actually survive for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now the first.
I mean, it's like anything else. Of course, there's a learning curve. Play the game 3 times and you expect it. I mean. Mm-hmm. Pop one, it was a pretty big learning curve. Like, and what the fuck?
They posted that they were going to be doing 75-person lobbies, testing it a bit. I didn't encounter any of those this weekend
not
yet.
That
but,
big.
Dude, 60 people even? That's impressive.
Say 50 to 60. I'm good.
75 might be even too much in that area because I don't like when, you know, when we're trying to jump out of that ship and figure out where to go based off of where the zone's going to shrink.
The airplane.
Yeah. I don't like to see. If we want to go there, I don't want to see a whole bunch of people jumping out at the same time.
No, I'm so not the jumping less people, into a pack of 30.
There's been times that we're like, let's go there. And then like, we're like, dude, no.
No, you gotta be
seeing
smart.
Everybody.
But there's always that caliber of player mm-hmm. that are going to go straight down. There's ones that are always going to go to the hottest point.
It's funny how much of it is pop one tactics too. It's the same exact tactics.
Dude,
it's
adult pop one.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, because they've really. Again, I said it before. It's like they took the best parts of every shooter
mm-hmm.
and just made this. It's like the pop, you know, the team of three from Pop One, even some of the layout. I mean, where did we end up migrating to last night? The church.
Mm-hmm. In graveyards, we're like just using Pop One logic of where there's going to be loot.
Yeah.
I don't mind landing in a mid-tier loot spot in contractors because the high loot spots are always so...
I like the high tier, though.
Of course. I know the way your brain works. If there was a premium tier loot spot, you'd be trying to go there.
The dude, platinum.
We were safe. Loot. We were safe.
Yeah.
In the probably the zone was going to end exactly where we were standing, and the airdrop fell 200 meters away, and we're like, well, you know. And what happened? We died. That's the way our brain is. We're such suckers.
Can't help it.
We're loot hordes. We had good loot, too. Like, that's we could have right. just waited it out. That's funny how we are.
It's not like, but I have no, oh, man. I have, like, zero gear fear with this game, because.
It's a battle royale.
Unlike Ghost of Tabor, I'm going to go in. I die. I lose what I had. In this one, you're going to have to go scrounge from nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, go find your shit, find your loot, find your chest plates.
Just
find
a different, everything. Just a different style of shooter.
Correct.
Too. But man, it's funny. I didn't think that this would be the case. I do significantly better in Ghost of Tabor.
Yes.
Than I do Contractor Showdown.
Right now.
Because survival tactics. But
you've
tactics,
been playing Ghost of Tabor much. You've been playing this for a week.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah. It's smart marketing from...
Only open on the weekends to even play it, so...
It's smart marketing from Caveman Games, exactly that. Free and only available on the weekends. They're going to get so much feedback. And how many people played this during this play session and are like, dude, I want to keep playing. I'm going to buy it at release now. Whereas maybe they would have had much more questions. Even us, if we never played it, we'd be like, well, do we need it?
Well, it's Contractors, though, so we would have gotten it.
Yeah. But it wouldn't have, now it's like, I need that day one. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a fun freaking game I wanted in my library. So it's been a fun week between, you know, Contractors on the weekend, Ghost of Tabor. Then we also checked out Skyclimb. We're talking to them this week, too.
Yeah.
That's a little cute little game on AppLab.
I'm at level 8.
Yeah, they were on our showcase as well. So I have a soft spot for every developer and studio that supported us. And that, of course, I understand not every studio couldn't.
No.
Sometimes it doesn't line up.
I don't hold a grudge.
No. But for the ones that could, it's like.
What do you mean you don't have anything for us?
It's like, right. Hell yeah. I'm slowly checking out a lot of the games that were on the showcase and we'll be talking with them. But Skyclimb's another one that uses a little bit of that Gorilla Tag local motion.
Yeah, but it's in a different way.
Correct. Because it's not like constantly moving.
It doesn't
moving.
Take much to do to get in. You know, they got the gravity jacked up.
It's more launching yourself.
Yeah, and you don't have to like put much effort in. No. You can almost do it with your wrist.
You actually don't want to put too much effort in because
you'll go too far.
You
screw yourself. But I finished Pirate Queen.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that one next. That's another one we cracked up, like started going through this week.
I'm all done.
It's not the longest game. There's like 13 chapters. Each chapter you can bang through depending on your ability to solve the puzzles.
Well, you choose the game mode, so you can make it easy.
Yeah, they have two different game modes in it. They have... the escape room mode, which is what I play on.
Yes.
And that's what you played on too. And then they have the story mode, which
And even with the escape room mode, they give you a cheat.
Yeah. In your inventory, you have this bell you can ring at any point, and then the guy will give you progressively more obvious clues depending on how many times you ask him and still don't get it. There was one part I asked him twice about doing something. And the first time he kind of gave me a riddle about it. You know, it was like, oh, you know, maybe something that you already have.
He Confucius'd it, is what he did.
The first time he was like, there's an item that you already have.
The water is wet.
Yeah, there's an item that you already have that would be useful. And I was like, I mean, okay. I have several items. I'm sticking everything in my backpack because that's the way I do things, right? Mm. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, all right. I need to get through this. Let me just ring the bell, which is very rare for me in puzzle games. I ring it again, and he's like, hey, try to do this into this. Like, literally told me what to do. So, yeah, you have no excuse to spend 2 hours being stuck unless you just refuse to want the help in it.
I don't think there was anything that hard that long-term, I mean, hey, you might spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and get frustrated.
Yeah, and you take the
but
life.
You'll figure it out.
You take the life of the Pirate Queen. Man, her name slipping my mind. I'll look it up after, maybe during the ad break. But her character is a real historical figure. I'm not 100% if this story that you're playing through, this narrative adventure, is a true story.
No,
as
just
well.
One. It's just one night,
but it's definitely
just one day
of her freaking life.
Of her life. So,
and she was a badass. I looked her up a bit because I was like, well,
yeah, she's legit.
You know, you started going through it before me. And one of the first things you go is, well, like, now I got to finish it just off principle because it's a good story. And you're like, and I want to know if this is real or not. Like, is this girl real? So I was like, all right, let me look this up. I Googled it. She was a real pirate leader in China. Mm-hmm. And she was a badass. She had some code of ethics too. You know,
well, she was the wife of a main person.
And then he died and she did take control of the fleet. And she ran shit. If you look her up, her real shit, she ran shit. And she had some cool code of ethics.
And we're going so far back in time. I question, like, was there artistic liberties? But I didn't see it said that anywhere. So I'm not, I don't know. But it was fun. It was a good story. And I in my heart of hearts, feel there's more coming.
Yeah. Again, it's not the longest experience. It's not like the anything cutting edge in gameplay and stuff like that either. It's very simple.
It's a story.
It's you're a main character 100%. In a story. Imagine you're a character in a movie.
Yeah. So if you look at it that way and you want to get to experience a day in the life of somebody you never would have, it's really good. Mm-hmm. And it was a good story. And
voiced by Lucy Liu.
Yes. I mean, everybody that voice worked in it did good. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for the balance because it's more than just Lucy Liu's voice in the game. There's I don't know, maybe five or six different voices. So I was listening to see if it was obvious that Lucy Liu's up here and everyone else isn't. But no, they all balanced.
Yeah, it was very good quality voice acting. Mm-hmm. Again,
be a great freaking movie, though.
Yeah.
Like, honest to God, with, you know, CGI being what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm picturing some of the things that...
Dude, some of those puzzles were hard, too.
They were good. I
got stuck.
I sent you a message and I'm like, I feel because if I expect you to die, it's like we're trained now to try things that don't seem normal. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, you can go on an interactive binge and be like, you know, common sense, if it's interactable, it's going to have a role in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they were overly hard, but I give them credit on a couple.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I think we talked about. Yeah. That was a pretty hard one. But nothing like, dude, there's been times that when I expect you to die, I have to shut off the headset. I have to walk away for a little while and be like, you know, I pretty much plowed through this.
Well, again, they're very friendly with their help feature as well, too. How much did you have to use it?
Full disclosure, when I originally had gotten a bell, you know, right at the start, I'm like, I don't know, what does it do? Like, how much of a cheat is it? So I used it. I heard the clue and I'm like, okay, these aren't the most descriptive things. So I kind of get where they're going with it. And then there was one puzzle. I don't remember which one it was. And I just didn't know what to do with the item. Mm-hmm. So I used it. The only other times I used it was if I knew how to solve something. And this is how I know that it'll repeat itself. Like, I knew, like, there's the answer in front of me. I don't want to say the puzzle. So I grabbed the bell and used it to see what they were going to say to make me find that item. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty accurate. But let's pretend I didn't find it. So I rang it again. And, the guy gave me closer advice, I guess. And I rang it again. And then it went right back to the original advice, which was so obvious if you just listened to it. Rang it again. And it played the other one. So I'm like, okay, so it will just sit there and loop itself.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I didn't need it.
Yeah. But no, very well designed game. Good.
I almost used it a couple of times because I will say there's specific orders for some of the puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do it out of order, it's not going to, you can't shortcut it. So you're going to have to do something else to get acknowledgement for the one you just did, if that makes any sense.
The worst is when you figure out how to leave before you're done with all that. And she's like, nope, not ready to leave yet.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn it.
You got more to do.
You're like, no, I don't. I can leave.
Right.
But screw it was, you, I'm out.
But story wise, I think it's, you know, it was a home run.
Yeah. They crushed it.
Yep.
So let's take a quick ad break. Then we'll come back with the rest of our news. So as always, like I said earlier, if you're enjoying the episode, subscribe, rate us 5 stars on whatever podcast platform that is, or subscribe to our YouTube. Comment, like, all that stuff. And also, don't forget, we have quite the Discord channel as well that we hype up week after week.
Mm-hmm.
Got some new members in it the last week that have been, you know, great addition in terms of discussion and stuff like that.
So a whole bunch of cool VR channels in there, you know, food discussion, book clubs, music discussion, like I said, game meetups, all that stuff. So check out our Discord server as well. And then don't forget, too, we have our Patreon server that you can become a supporter of the show with a couple different options for benefits, you know, listener, subscriber perks, that kind of stuff, you know, on-air shout-outs, your name across the bottom of a ticker on the video. Also access to an exclusive channel in our Discord server just for Patreon supporters. And, you know, in your heart of hearts, you get to know you're supporting us as well, too. Doesn't that make you feel good? So go check out our Patreon and our Discord. The links for that are in our show notes. And on that note, you know, huge shout out to our Patreon supporters on our on-air shout out tier. We have Asim, Amelia, Earth Witness, Carson, Generic Vibes, Jake, Crispy, and Shoes. And Generic Vibes is a new one. Mm-hmm. He hopped in the Discord last week and then boom, almost right away became a Patreon supporter.
That's pretty cool.
Said he had been listening for a couple months now and then finally got, you know, into the Discord. And we hear that a lot. People be like, I've been listening forever and now finally got around to joining the Discord. So I know I'm annoying about it sometimes, but clearly
it's cool. Those subliminal messages work.
Yeah. Sometimes it's week after Patreon. Week, you know, sometimes you only got to hear me say it for six Patreon. Months a year. Patreon, Discord, Patreon. Subscribe, YouTube,
Discord,
smash the like
smash,
button.
Smash, smash, smash.
Smash, 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 smash. Remember
Discord, Discord, Discord.
Remember
Discord.
Goliath? That
I was thinking of that the other day.
And they have, dude, that fucked with me so
I was
bad.
Thinking of that in Flock of the Low Gods.
Yep. Which, by the way.
If they use that technology
mm-hmm.
where you're hearing your own voice in like the most disturbing way you'd ever want to. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Take something scary and make it even worse.
That made me learn my lesson that anytime an app asks me to record my name in VR and they say, like, what's your name? I'm going to say something like D-Scruffles.
Yeah, not your real name.
Not Damien.
And coming at you from all sorts of different angles in your head.
Nonetheless, if you enjoy the episode, subscribe, rate us 5 stars. Maybe check out the Patreon, the Discord. Tell your friends, scream about Rough Talk VR from the mountains, and we'll be back with you in just a moment after this word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code word RUFFTALKVR for 20% off plus free shipping. After using Manscaped, I can finally say I have caught the spring fever. Introducing the season's champ, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth-generation trimmer features 2 interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It also features dual LED spotlights to guide you through the darkest winter debris. Navigate with confidence in your delicate areas. Hate making a mess? Not to worry. This bad boy is waterproof. Shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the ocean. Spring cleaning doesn't just apply to the nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code word RUFFTALKVR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code word RUFFTALKVR at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants.
And we are back. And one of the coolest pieces of news from last week, I'm so hyped for this one, Thief Simulator VR, a game that we had way too much fun with, brought out some of our goofiest in-game, I guess, antics. You know, our party chat while playing Thief Simulator VR was hilarious.
Yeah.
And of course, it spawned our Uncle Vinny.
That's where Uncle Vinny came from. Yeah. I stole it from that.
Yeah, because the narrator or your person giving you missions is Vinny. And it's like, it's Uncle Vinny, you know?
It's Uncle Vinny. It's everybody's favorite uncle.
You know, break into houses, steal stuff, sell it, get upgrades. The game is so much fun.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. It's cool.
VR break B&E's. That's what it is.
Yeah, pretty much home invasion.
Home invasion sim. But of course, Thief Simulator VR is a much more.
They don't let you hurt the occupants of the house, which is kind of cool.
No, we had joked that if there was violence in it, like you could hit them, then it would be called Home Invasion VR. I remember that was a joke that we did during our review of it. But nonetheless, outside of the actual game that you pay for, they dropped a free prologue episode, chapter, I guess you could say, on App Lab. So it's available for free, whether or not you've bought in the game or not. They say it's a gift for the players that have supported them and a little bit of an enticement for new players to check them out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like that the prologue is the same exact gameplay. It looks
like an escape room.
It's an escape from prison adventure is what they say, or escape from prison story.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's the story of your character getting arrested, going to prison, and meeting Uncle Vinny, who helps you escape from prison.
Is it just Vinny or is it Uncle
Vinny? I'm pretty sure it's Vinny, but you expect me to say Vinny and not say Uncle in there too?
Shit.
That's Uncle Vinny, baby.
Follow your Uncle Vinny. He'll take you. Hold my pocket right there. We're going to take a little stroll through the courtyard.
As you can see why Uncle Vinny was a dangerous one for us.
Oh, dude. To give me more content too is just sick. Because
yeah. And this
of
one's,
course, that's who's playing the game.
And this one's free, so anybody who hasn't checked out Thief Sim yet, I mean, dude, I highly recommend it.
Go over there and punch that guy in the face.
It's free. It's free. So I'm excited.
Yeah. No, dude. I'm already...
haven't checked it out yet. And
blowing the dust off of Uncle Vinny right now.
Getting warmed up, ready to go.
Getting loose. Uncle Vinny coming back.
I actually think that Thief Sim is one of the more underrated games on the official store, too. A lot of people just kind of skip over it.
Well, but there was so much mechanics fun. That they proved work.
Like driving?
Like driving.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, all right, you know. that was the... that had given me hope.
Yeah.
And that came out before Grid Legends,
mm-hmm.
you know, which obviously proved driving works.
But... yeah. Which Grid Legends does do more of the thumbstick than the actually grabbing the wheel. Yeah. But no, Thief Sim, man, really good game, comical fun, highly recommended to people because I think it's one that people might miss. And if you're kind of on the fence, why not check out this little free prologue?
And they have enough content now anyways without the free content. Mm-hmm.
They keep you occupied. Yeah. I got to go back in there.
Go check out the game. Huh?
We haven't been in there since
Maybe
launch.
Maybe you learn something. Make a little money on the side. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thief Sim VR. Good stuff.
They do educate you how to be a crook, though.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but, you know, yeah, there's some stuff in there.
We call it a recipe.
And then another
game. Well, because you're working for the Lombardi family, are you not?
That's what they say in the prologue. Working for the Lombardi family.
No connection there. They're plumbers, right? Little Mario and Luigi.
No, they're...
It's a Mario. That's who's running the show behind the desk. It's a Mario.
So then another game that we previously reviewed. We had a pretty good time with this one. Arcade Legend. It's like a build your own arcade multiplayer game featuring licensed real classic arcade games.
The real shit, man.
You know, at launch we had a lot of fun with it, but it hit a content wall where
limited content.
You know, you're going to build everything you can in your arcade. You got to set up how you want it to. Now there's not really much to do. And besides hang out with your friends in there and play the actual games.
Play your arcade.
Which is its own fun too. But they've since added more content, you know, including like axe throwing, some other games and stuff. But they just rolled out a new update featuring a second venue to go visit, featuring 18 retro indie arcade games. And unlike the other arcade games in Arcade Legend, most of them were like, you know, basketball, like kind of like those type of arcade games, not like the arcade cabinets.
Stand up.
Yeah. These ones are like the arcade machines.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different style in there too.
Those are called arcade games where I grew up.
Yeah. I was kind of, I was caught off guard actually at release of Arcade Legend that there wasn't more of like the
quarter
units.
Games?
Yeah. It was more of like.
And these are indie.
Indie real game, indie ones, so. Ones that I'd never heard of, but there's 18 of them.
It's a Barrio.
Barrio? Yeah, a lot of them look like, not knockoffs, that's the wrong word, but it looks like, you know, inspired by Space Invaders or inspired by Mario type platformer.
It's a Pico.
Exactly. So, it looks cool though, it's definitely, it's a free update.
I'm not gonna lie, I've been happy to see them continue to
like the axe throwing.
Because conceptually what they have is really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like what kid wouldn't want to have their own arcade?
Yeah.
And this one, you know, even as adults, we had fun putting ours together.
Yeah, we did.
So I like when they give you a reason to go back.
Dude, we had so much fun with it until we ran out of content. That was the unfortunate part about hitting the wall. It was like the fun level was a 10 and then it just stopped.
But it's not that the game was bad. It was like, I just wanted more of it.
They should put some bullies in the arcade, a couple of drug dealers and shit like there used to be in the day.
You got to manage them or let them be, you know, hey, look at that. More people are showing up. Who are all these people coming to our arcade right now? Right. Oh, no, there's a fight. There's a fight.
Correct.
Get them out. Banned. You got to check the IDs at the door. Make sure you're not on the ban list. Like, what's coming to my arcade?
Get the haircut and shit.
Why do I need metal detectors at my arcade all of a sudden?
This is an unsafe.
Well, we're both suckers for those like Sim Tycoon type games. Mm-hmm. I love Tycoons.
Yeah, there's not one I don't like.
You know, I started playing this game dev one. Of course, there's the phone app ones that I love too. Mm-hmm. But there's a good one on flat screen PC called Mad Games Tycoon. And it's so much fun. You just build a game dev studio. Hire employees.
I have it for Xbox or something similar.
Yeah, it'd be something similar. I think this one's just computer. I think. I don't know.
No, I'm almost positive.
No, because there's other ones as well. They're not the only one in that series. I'm pretty sure specifically this one's just PC.
The Mad?
Yeah.
Or I think there's Mad, but maybe a different version of it.
Unless I'm wrong, maybe it is on flat screen, like on consoles too. But
I've got the esports one, the game dev one. Oh, there's two different game dev ones, honestly.
No, there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. I'm talking Xbox.
Okay. Just on Xbox?
Strictly, yeah, not PC.
I was like, there's a whole genre of games.
You go on Steam and type in Tycoon, you're going to get pages.
Ah, dude, I love Tycoon. So there's not enough of them in VR either. Those slow burn.
Tycoon, Railroad Tycoon, Oil Tycoon, name one.
I love slow burn, real time strategy games. Give me them. They suck so much time out of me.
SimCity was the one that put them on the map.
Yeah. They're all so fun, though. Mm-hmm. Good Tycoon. But nonetheless, it's cool to see them, like you said, continue to add updates, give you reason to get back in. You know,
play it some more.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've gone in, so we kind of get to check out all their updates that they've added at once.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. They had their whole avatar system where you could unlock new, you know, wearables, invite your friends to your arcade. Again, conceptually.
Yeah, new bowling balls for your bowling lane.
Which the bowling was janky at release, and it looks smooth these days, so I'm excited to check it out.
They fixed it real quick after release.
So I'm excited to check it out. Huge props to the developers for continuing to add new content to the game, and in this case, with a free update. And then another one, you know, I'm not too big on Gorilla Tag, but you got to give props where props is due. Again, the local motion, you're kind of seeing implementations of it more and more, but despite it not being, you know, exactly my cup of tea, they recently passed 100,000 reviews on the MetaQuest store, being the first game to do that on the MetaQuest store.
That's real huge.
100,000 reviews. Dude, that's a lot.
I'm surprised. I can't say I'm surprised.
You know what? Part of me kind of is because I feel like a lot of their market is kids. So even with the player base size, it's like you got to get those kids to go in the app and drop the 5-star review. That's impressive. I feel like that's a lot of steps to get like a 11-year-old to do.
Probably adults.
You know what? You're probably right. There's probably such a bigger adult audience for Gorilla Tag than I properly give credit for. I usually look at it as just a little kid game, but it's probably like a good percentage of adults play it too. I'm sorry, a good percentage of their audience being adults as well.
I saw something disturbing on social media involving an older person who plays VR games, and he was being pretty much attacked for being an older dude playing games that kids play. And it was like the Lego game.
Oh, I love that game. Right? Lego Bricktales?
Oh, no, dude, the games.
But that's a single player game.
So it's like, are we seeing a weird shift now where because kids play the game, if you're older and play it, they're just going to assume you're a creeper? When they fucking chose to come into that space.
They hijacked it?
Yeah, dude. So it's like, It was sad to see. I'm like, nothing this guy said was like creepy. It was like him talking about the games he plays, and they're all games we have played and enjoyed.
Well, that's social media in general too. I won't.
I'm just saying.
Take what's shown.
I'm not
on social.
Saying no. But to ignore blatant red flags would be fucking crazy. So I see that, and that's the first time I've seen that, especially in a space that. I've never seen that kind of like conversation. And it's like, wow, this dude got jumped on.
That's unfortunate because again, I always, like I said, I always assume Gorilla Tag's a kid game, but that's not fair.
Fucking,
it might be
screw you, man. I ain't touching it.
Might be
not worth it.
might be like 60% adults. Who knows? That would be an interesting if they could get that stat breakdown.
I'd love to know the real statistics.
Because I'm surprised if 100K kids went into the Quest store and dropped reviews.
That's why they
have the audience size that it makes sense to pass 100K reviews.
But I could see 50,000 kids nagging the shit out of their dad to put a fucking review.
Especially if they gave you some in-app benefit for it. You know, like exclusive skins.
You never know.
So that was a cool one. Huge props to Gorilla Tag.
Continuing to crush it.
Yeah, not my cup of tea, but that type of stuff moves the industry forward. And then an unfortunate one, Pluto Sphere, Pluto VR. They were doing like a cloud VR service. You know, they were doing the best they could. It's tough because you can't get a cloud VR app onto the Quest Store or App Lab. Mm-hmm. It's against the Quest
Which
rules.
Isn't the end of the world.
No, that to me means Meta's going to make their own cloud VR service. It's been rumored for years.
Someone else out so they don't have to compete with them when they do. But
it's been rumored for years that they were working on one, but I feel like it's always on the back burner, not really the top priority.
GTA, baby.
But Pluto VR did kind of like an arcade token system where you would buy per hour your playtime. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty affordable. And unfortunately, they had to shut down last week due to, funds. They weren't making enough sales.
And I get it. I totally get it.
It's a tough... Well, dude, if you're not on the store...
There's a pretty big expense keeping these servers up and running for each individual person. And
I think the only way for that to have enough access to users is if it was like a built-in service for Meta, and it's like you pause the game, you open up your home menu, you go to settings, you see, Quest Cloud, and you hit subscribe, and they push it on the home page. If you're not able to get on the store, your only way of getting the word out is just web traffic.
Well, didn't they do more than just shit for VR?
Yeah, they did full remote computers too. Yeah, so just like Shadow PC.
If you get into the VR market thinking you're going to make a buck doing that,
no,
it's a losing business plan. So, I mean, something deeper might have been going on, because if you failed at the remote PC part,
well, Shadow PC, remember them?
Shadow was good.
They're still around, but they
went up in price big time.
And they had to get bought and sold as well.
I canceled that shit. And I was like, yeah, I'm out. Not worth it. I could own the fucking... computer payment would be cheaper.
I had a Pluto subscription for a bit, and what's funny, they will message you like 3 days before being like, here's a big reminder that we're about to charge you. Which is like, you see more and more companies do that, but not all of them do by any means. So when I saw they were having financing issues, I was like, well, yeah, you tell everybody you're about to charge them.
And they quit.
Heavily, before they do, Yeah.
See ya.
But I still think that there is a market for cloud PC gaming for VR.
100%. The market has to be bigger.
Correct. And I think it's going to be the first time we really see it successful, unfortunately, is going to be directly through Meta. It's not going to be with a third-party app that can't get on the store or anything like that. I think that they had, it was like rumored Project Avalanche or something like that was the name of it. I want to see a full-blown Quest Cloud system. I'll pay $10 a month for it.
I was going to say, it's not going to be free.
No.
But they have the server capacity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
unfortunately, it's going to take a company like Meta.
But that list of priorities... I get why that's not their like top
number
three.
One. Yeah.
Doesn't need to be. And you look at a great fucking standalone.
And you look at Pluto, money was the issue. Meta, because they have the funds that they can just eat that bullet until it's profitable. Mm-hmm. They're not going to run out of funds. They got more than enough cash on hands, but unfortunate to see, because I like Pluto. I like their direction. I liked what they were doing conceptually. Hopefully it's something we see, rolled out in another iteration, either through another company or officially through Meta as well in the future, because it's a very accessible way for standalone users to get to PC VR as well. And then another one, MLB Home Run Derby, which is an MLB, obviously, home run game that was on App Lab for almost 3 years, has finally come to the official store on March 28th.
Yay.
So, dude, MLB was stuck on App Lab. Anybody can get stuck on App Lab.
If Flat Screen had an App Lab, they deserve to be.
Yeah, you're very vocal about the lack of quality of...
Oh, heinous. Heinous.
Yeah, a lot of the baseball games are very missed. But I could see a home run derby being fun in VR.
I you know, it's, I think it's just a portion of a bigger picture for Major League Baseball games.
Well,
so right now
we'll
get the hitting mechanics and, you know, and, but at the end of the day, that's all you're going to be doing is hitting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
When they can incorporate their true latest versions of Major League Baseball and into VR, then we're talking like, okay.
What a sports game needs, in my opinion, too, it's like the bare minimum for a sports game, and this is where NFL pro era does good, is you need a career mode in a sports game.
Yeah, I mean, just throwing a football through a hoop isn't gonna.
We didn't put time into the to the second one, but remember the first NFL pro era? If there was only an exhibition mode, mm-hmm. we would have played it for 10 minutes. We would have done one or two matches, played catch, and then never opened up again. But instead, there's the whole season. You're going to go through the playoffs with presentation, the Super Bowl. That's a lot. You have the stats, the rankings.
Wait till Madden comes to VR.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are going to get wrecked.
I'm a sucker for good career mode. That's what I want in a boxing game, is a good boxing game career mode. The bare knuckle game is supposed to have it, a career mode. Let's see. That game is still too good to be true to me until it's in my hands and I'm playing it.
The fighting unicorn.
Yeah. Well, that was it for what I have on my list of news. But
I'm not shitting on MLB in VR. I haven't tried it yet. I'm just saying.
I totally get what you're saying. I haven't been blown away by it.
I have said in the past as well that for whatever reason, baseball hasn't pumped out good games.
Mm-hmm. I like totally baseball in VR, but that's not an MLB game either. We're talking like MLB baseball games. But that's all I really had for news. I mean, we talked about some games coming out in March last week. I guess I'll kill 5 minutes talking about them again. Medieval Dynasty, dude, I'm so freaking hyped for that one. Coming out March 28th. Dude.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That one's going to start single player only, come out co-op as well. You know, no, I'm sorry. It's going to start single player. They're going to be working on multiplayer as well. You spent months hyping up the flat screen version to me when it first came out.
Still own it.
Yeah.
I had it when it was beta.
Town management, RPG elements, get married, start a dynasty, do quests. Dude, I'd always wanted to get into it, never did, and I'm so freaking pumped for it. That's coming out March 28th. Lawnmower Sim, March 21st. I know how excited you are for that one.
I'll be on it. Day oneer.
You sound like I Expect You to Die with it. In the lead up to I Expect You to Die, I heard from you every day of my life. Do we have I Expect You to Die 3 yet?
Yeah.
Do we have it yet? And it's kind of that same vibe with Lawnmower. You're like, dude, we got Lawnmower Sim yet?
I had no shame at all.
You're like, we're going to get this one early, dude. March 21st is coming fast. You know, so you're dying for Lawnmower Sim. And then also, Max Mustard coming out the same day, March 21st. I'm so hyped for that one. So March wrapping up to be a good month. Already some stuff coming out in April being announced. Of course, a whole bunch of great games coming out this year, like Zombie Army VR.
Grim.
Well, I don't know if that's coming out this year, but
I
hope so.
No, it's coming out this year. I've heard nobody say it's not coming out this year.
Wanderer.
Just win.
Q4, Wanderer probably. VR. So 2024 on fire. We got PAX East a couple weeks away. Not at GDC this year, unfortunately, but I think next year we might have to do.
I don't know. I
or maybe a doubleheader, or maybe PAX East is huge next year.
I'm not
year.
Sold on GDC when somebody was saying there's actually might be a better one.
Yeah, AWE is so really big. That one's usually in June.
I'd rather focus on that one.
But let's see. GDC sounds like a fun time, though. Everybody and their little sister. Everybody and their little brother in the VR professional world sounds like they're going to GDC. But we're gonna have some fun at PAX East still too, though. We're gonna raise hell and leave, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin style. Smash some beer cans when we walk in, pour them over, and just leave. That's our game plan. All right. So if you enjoyed the episode, like I said, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, comment on YouTube, like, scream it from the mountains, and we'll check you out later this week again. Ciao, ciao.
Take care.